How many nations are there really? Who was the first Golus? The first Golus was Bavel, and Bavel is made up of two nations. It's made up of the Kastim and the Babylonian. Kastim and the Bavel. Then comes Paras Umadai. That's already four. Then comes Mokdon, and after Mokdon was Yavan. Yavan is broken down into two parts. There's Mokdon, Alexander the Great, and when he died, his Malchus was divided amongst
Ptolemy and
that's after. Alexander the Great is broken into two different categories. Alexander the Great, and when he died, his Malchus was divided into three different groups, which is considered to be a separate entity. And then we come to Edom, which also has a partner, Yishmael. So the truth is, there are really eight. We live in a world where the Dalet Malchus are really branched out into eight Malchus. Each of the Dalet Malchus is really broken down into two. And in fact, I always repeat this, is that the Chad Gadya. In the Chad Gadya, it's the best pshat in the Chad Gadya. Once upon a time, I used to really, really seek out a good mahalik in the Chad Gadya. When you go to a store to buy Haggadahs, they have a lot of Haggadahs. And the first place to look is the Chad Gadya. Because if they have something in the Chad Gadya, it means there's something original about the Haggadah. Otherwise, it's just, you know, a collection, a likut. And many of the Perushim Chad Gadya are not very satisfying. But Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, he learns the Chad Gadya. There are eight stages in the Chad Gadya, and the eight stages correspond to the eight kingdoms. Each two is a set: Bavel, Paras Umadai, Yavan, with the three divisions, and then Edom with Yishmael. The dog, the cat, the stick, the fire, the water. He shows with clarity and precision the psukim that clearly identify the eight different items in the Chad Gadya with these eight nations that I've just listed to you. And when you read the pasuk here, look what it says. She says, Shnei gom ve'nech, that's two. And they're going to be also Shnei le'umim mime'ayichi paredu. And then it says, one is going to be stronger than the next. If we go in order, the Shnei Goyim Bevidnech is going to be Bavel and the Kastin. They work together. They were a team. They were mamash a team. They were almost twins. They were mamash a team. They worked together. We don't find between the Kastin and the Babylonians any real outright division. Shnei goyim, then we shnei l'umim nime'ayich yiparedu. Oh, paras umadai. They were distinct. They were completely separate. First, the Modim, they conquered Bavel, and then they gave it over. Koresh gave it over. Koresh was a Parsi. First was Daryovesh Hamodi. And his son-in-law was Koresh. He gave it over to Koresh the Parsi. Yiparedu, they were completely separate. Then we come to Ulaoim. Ulaoim Miloim Yemots. One will be more mighty than the next. That refers to Alexander the Great. Ulaoim Miloim Yemots, you may want to say, is that his people, his three divisions, they were more mighty than him. Some suggest, this cannot be proven, that they murdered him. How did Alexander the Great die? This is one of history's big mysteries. How did a person that was so clever to conquer the entire world, how did he die at such a young age? Did he die from a disease? Corona? What did he die from? So no one really knows. There are a lot of conspiracy theories out there as to what he died from. A lot of conspiracy theories. As Pashtus says, he died from a natural disease, he caught some disease and he died, very possible. Some want to say no, he was killed by his soldiers because he wanted to keep on going and they said, enough is enough, we want to go home already. They conquered him. Ulaoim Milam Yamots, the Rav Yavoit Soir. Who's the Rav? Esav and Yishmael. Who's older? Esav is older. Esav. No, sorry. Yishmael is older, right? Yishmael. Of course Yishmael is older. I'm thinking about Christianity and Islam. Which is an older religion? Christianity is an older religion than Islam. So if you want to say the Rav, which means that the Christians are going to serve the Muslims, which was happening today. Today, Christians are, Islam, they're very kafif. They're all the lefties who really are Christians, live in a Christian country, they're very submissive to the Tzair, the younger religion, the Yishmaelim, or you say just the opposite. The Rav refers to Yishmael. Yishmael will be a servant to Esav. Okay, over here, it's already drush. That's not really the purpose of our shir, but I couldn't help myself. We have here in this one pasuk, we have over here eight, a description. The pasuk is extremely verbose. There's a lot going on here. Now, let's see Rashi. We surely just learn Rashi in Inkelis, that's what we're here for. Rashi over here says, V'ahareim Hashem lo, al yidei shliach, Hashem zetu al yidei shliach, l'shem ne'mar b'ruch ha'kodesh. The shame of Sibir HaKadosh, who now Allah, he said to her, he told her the message. What did he say? He told her, Shnei Goyim Bevitnech. There are two Goyim Bevitnech. Goyim Ksiv Kimo Geyim. Now the problem over here is, Shnei Goyim Bevitnech, the pasuk, the way it's spelled is, look over here on the screen, Shnei Goyim. The way it's spelled in the Torah, there are two Yuds. But the way we pronounce it is a Vav. Okay, we it's a krivich siv. We read it as if the first yud is a vav. Okay, we read it as if the first, but the way it's really spelled in the Torah is gimel yud yud mem. And we read it goyim, we read it like this. So what's the pshat in the krivich siv? The answer is the word gay means like arrogant, or should I say arrogant, it means, goyim means a nation. Gayim means mighty. Two mighty entities are b'mei ayich, and who's that referred to? This refers to Rebbe, geyim ksiv, k'may geyim. If you read geyim as if there's the way it sounds phonetically is geyim, which means mighty. Elu Antoninos the Rebbe. This refers to a descendant of Esav whose name was Antoninos. He was the Caesar of Rome, the Rebbe and Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Shlei pasku mi'al shulchanam. It did not cease from their table. Let me go to the next page. It did not cease from their table. Just one little word over here in the pasuk. It did not cease from their table. I put it on the screen here. No, I put on the screen the wrong page. I'm sorry. I put on the screen the wrong page. I need to put page 222. A moment, please. Share screen. I need to put over here. I'm looking on the right page. Is this the page? Here it is. It did not cease from their table. There's a lot of Rashi. See, it's important. A lot of Rashi over here. Good. Me'al shulchanam loy tzinoin loy chazeres. Okay. It did not cease. You can see this. Just want to make sure everyone. You can see this page. You can see what it says over here. Leitznoin, yeah, you can see it. Okay, leitznoin, not radish, leichazeres, and not lettuce. Leib yimaisachamav, leib yimaisagashamim. Like today. Today, you go into the supermarket, you can buy anything you want, any time of the year. There's a system in place where they get lettuce. Where does lettuce come from? So it depends on the time of the year. This time of the year it comes from America. This time of the year it comes from South Africa. This time of the year it comes from California, it comes from, I don't know where it comes from. Yep. There's every single fruit, apples, oranges, they're able to harvest the fruits and vegetables continuously. Now today it's not a novelty. Today there's no chiddush that you can have whatever you want due to technology. But in time of Chazal, time of the ancient times, this was an impossibility. Unless you were super duper rich, then you're able to do the impossible. And that's what it says over here, like Stendel Chazest, like Mosakhan, like Mosak Shamim. That's what it means, Shnei Goyim, Shnei Geyim. great, mighty, wealthy, powerful people, Rebbe Antoninus. They were very good friends. Someone that Antoninus was Megayer, B'Sof Yomav. They learned, Rebbe learned with him B'Chavrusa every single day. U'shnei le'umim, there are two nations, Ein le'om el malchus. The word le'om means a nation, malchus, kingship. Not just nomads, malchus. Mime'aychi paredu, min ha'me'ayim heim nifradim. From the belly they're going to separate. Zel rishoy, v'zel l'tumo. One will become wicked, Esa v'zel l'tumo, sincere, wholesome, Yaakov Avinu. Melo'im yemotz, one nation will be more powerful than the next. Lo yishvu b'gedula. Okay, so it says that they're never going to be equal. When one of them rise up, Zenofel, they're never going to be the same. One will always be dominant. I will be filled, Hashem says. I will be complete from the ruins. What does that mean? Yerushalayim will be Malaya when Edom is Chareva. Loi nismala tsar, ela mich, the other way around. Here it's both ways. Lo nismala tsar. Tsar represents our enemies. Tsar, ela michorbona shel Yerushalayim. Tsar are our enemies. Tyre. Tyre doesn't exist anymore. Tyre supposedly is an island in the Mediterranean which somehow disappeared. It sunk into the ground, or something happened where the level of the Mediterranean was raised much higher than it is than it used to be, and the entire island of Tsar has been submerged below water. More than that, I don't know. But each one, Kishzekom Zenoifel. That's the Yisod according to him. Okay, now let's take a look now at the Targum. Targum back on the it's a little bit tricky to keep going back between the two. Targum on the previous page said as follows. No, this is the wrong page. I'm getting all mixed up which page to share. Page all confused here, which page to share with you. No, what's going on? Are we leaving with this? Yeah, this is the page, right? Are we leaving with this? No. It's the wrong page again. One, let me try the next one. Share screen, page 22. There's got to be a better way to do this. Okay, no, what's going on? This 22 is also the wrong page. Try one more time. Page 33. No, 1 second, please. One second, this is not going the way I expected. One moment. I have three pages here. And I'm confused as to which is the right page. Stop share. I want to look at page 22. Well, no, it was 3-3. I think it was. I remember which one it was. This was page 1-1. Here is page. Something's not right. Okay, this is one more song, this is also no good. Apologize, I'm just having a hard time here with all the stuff here. Can't seem to get my act together. 1 second. I think it's on the screen, that's why. It's not on the screen. 1-1. One moment, please. I have to find it. I set it up before we started, but it didn't exactly go well. All right, let's try it now. 3-3. All right, here it is. I see it. I just... All right, I think we're in business now, right? We're in business now, right? Okay, you see. Now let's see the Targum. Targum over here says, Pasuk of Yilvah, Ma Hashem Lo. Hashem said to her. You can see this? Is this okay? You see this now? Good. Hashem said to her, Terein Amamin Bim Aichi. There are two nations in your... Bibid Neichi translates Bim Aichi. Visartain, and there are two Mal Kivon Mim Aichi. There are two kings. That's exactly what Rashi said. Rashi said the word an oim ein oim el malchus mim aichi yisparshon umalchu mi malchu titakaf. One malchus will be more powerful than the next. The rabba, the greater one, yishtabad. Yavod, he translates Yishtabad Liz Eirot to the younger. Now, let's see what the Targum over here says. Okay, we come over here to the word Malkivon. An Om means a kingdom, Malchus. Rashi told us, Ein Om Ela Malchus. So what does Malchus in the Targum mean? Malkivon. V'chem b'gemara, v'ein Om Ela Malchus. Uperish Rashi Sham, midimitargem Malkoi mi Malkoi. Okay, since in this pasuk it says, or elsewhere it says the word Om, it says Malko, that's our Targum over here. This is exactly what it says in the Targum. The Targum over here says, Ula Oim Mila Om Yemots. Umalchu Mimalchu Titakaf. So you see that the translation of the word Om means Malchus. That's what Rashi says in the Gemara says. And then the word it says the word Yemots. Yemots, it says, Targum Chazak Yemats. Okay. Let's make it a little bit smaller so we can see more on the page. Whoops. It says, I skipped over here. Perish Rashi, the od yemotz, l'shaych el b'malchus. Rashi says the term emotz is only applicable regarding malchus. That's very interesting. We say five times here, chazak, chazak. No, we don't say emotz. Chazak ve'emotz. Chazak v'emotz, he says, only applies to Malchus. All right. L'shechel b'malchus. V'oid. Hoysif har'eim. Eim is the Mizrahi. Shadar shokim b'nei shahamilim v'shnei le'umim miyuseris. Oh, that's what we wanted to say. These two words are completely superfluous. Miyuseris. V'hoi yitzoch lo m'shnei goyim b'vinich. U'mimei ayich yiporeidu. This was the question that I asked you. Why is it necessary to mention these all of these expressions? So these two, this repetition, shnei le'umim, doesn't just mean another nation. It already says shnei goyim bevitnech. Why are we repeating with shnei le'umim? The answer is the le'umim. Mayor, what are you doing? What are you doing with your eyes, Mayor? You texting someone? You chatting with someone over here while I'm talking? What's the shnei le'umim? What is the you people are you having a chat conversation here? That's titakaf. The word titakaf means strength. Fine. Avol the mokam shakosuf chazak v'emotz tirgim v'emotz v'ilam. B'nei shechazak mitargim tekef v'ilam bo lechosuf chizuk. Over here, he's telling us an awesome, awesome chiddush. This is something which is very common. And it's something they have to really appreciate what he says over here. We always learn more and more lately that words are not held accountable to a precise translation. Just because it says a word in one place and says the exact same word in another place does not mean they have the same exact translation in both locations. Words are raw material. Words are defined by the context. Now, besides that, in general, you look at the context and you define the word, there's another powerful principle. When you have multiple words, which are very similar to one another, that automatically changes the translation of the word. If you only would have the word, look what he says, it's an incredible chiddush, and this chiddush applies in many, many examples. It's a very powerful idea. Let me get this out of the way. If you only would have the word emots, just the word emots, it would mean tekaf, powerful. But if you have the word emots together with the word chazak, then chazak means tekaf. And that's going to bump up the word emots to a different translation called ilam. Now, I don't know the nuance, the differences between the word ilam and the word tekaf, but one thing is for sure, they don't mean the same thing. They have a different connotation, it's a different flavor. If you like chocolate ice cream, it doesn't necessarily mean you like vanilla ice cream. It's a different flavor. Yet, the word emots is not accountable. The word emots doesn't have to mean the same thing every place it appears in Tanakh. Now, we normally, when we say that, we say, well, let's look at the big picture. Look at the whole story. And then take the raw material, the concept, and try to fit it into the story. But here's a different principle here. Even if it would fit into the big picture to mean exactly the same thing, but if there's another word in the pasuk that also means that thing, that will mean that in this context, the word will have a different translation. When the word appears alone, like in this pasuk it appears alone. It says, Ye'ematz. It says in this pasuk, U'la'oim mil'oim ye'ematz. That's it. It doesn't say, U'la'oim mil'oim yachzoik ve'ye'ematz. It doesn't say the word chazak ve'ematz in this, but just as one word. Oh, only one word, ye'ematz. So in this pasuk, the word ye'ematz means what? It means titakaf, power. A certain flavor of the word power. But when the word ye'ematz appears together with the word chazak, then the word chazak means titakaf, and the word ye'ematz means alam. Alam also means power. And this example over here is something which the same concept of words shifting to a different meaning depending on where they're located is extremely common in many different examples. I don't have to, unfortunately, now an example. In the future, we have to pay attention to this and see how this applies. And he explains it over here one more time. Over here, he translates titakaf bezetikim yemots. Avu b'mokim shekos of chazak ve'emots. When the two words go together, there tiragim ve'emots ve'ilam. A similar word to power. Memnei shechazak. Because there he took the word chazak and translated tikaf. Oh, so then the word emots, ilam bo lechoysef chizuk, is a different type, a different translation. Again, the yesod is words are not, they're not etched, the translation of a word is not etched in stone. A word is nothing more than raw material, a general concept, but its precision, its precise meaning is flexible and depends upon other factors, both the story, the context, and number two, the other words which it appears together with. Next, V'rabba, the Rav. The Rabba is Rabba, the great. Tirgem, Rav, V'rav. V'hagodol, V'hamikra bo b'loshen arami. So he's saying over here, V'rav, Yamoitzo. This is something very curious. We have a lot of words in Chumash that are not Hebrew. V'rav, Yavoitzoir. Excuse, this is not a Hebrew word. What do you mean, v'rav? Rav means the many. In Hebrew, biblical Hebrew, rav means, I think it means many. To say the word rav means the older one, that's not Hebrew. That's Aramaic. And indeed, it's not a kasha. We do that many times. We use Aramaic words in Chumash are used. V'rabba, and the Targum emphasizes v'rav means the greater one. It doesn't mean the many. It means v'rabba, the older one. Tirgim v'rav v'hagodol v'mikra bo b'loshen arami. Okay, k'mo kiryas melech rav. He has an example in Tehillim. That's in Tehillim. That's a melech gadol. Okay. V'chein v'yisab lechem haman v'roiv banav k'loimar. Now here it says v'roiv banav k'loimar gidul asam. It means their greatness. This is an amazing, this is an incredible chiddush. When we, that's not the way we translate it. When we read Megillas Esther, and Haman, we read this pasuk by Yisabel Haman, Kvod Ashroi V'roiv banav. How does the common man translate the word roiv banav? It means his many children. Haman had how many children? I think some say he had 300 children. Haman was was a big Baal Avera. He had dealings with a lot of women, and he got away with having a lot of children So when it says roiv banav, it means his many children. In the Haggadah, in the Megillah itself, we learn about the hanging of 10 of his children. And then there are different drashos that tell us that really the more were killed, but that's not necessarily the correct pshat, because the word roiv is really the way it's used in Chumash, the rav reish beis means the older one. It doesn't mean an abundance. And then if you're going to take what it says in Chumash and apply it to the Megillah, so when it says v'roiv banav, it means the greatness of his children. Doesn't mean the abundance. He had many children. He means, look, I have one son who's a doctor, one son who's a lawyer, one son who's the president of the United States, one son who's the prime minister here, one son that invented this gadget. Roiv means the gedulois of his children. Doesn't mean the abundance. Kilemar gidulasam. Deloy kidaz zikenim sheperish v'rav yavoid so'ir. V'harbe yavoid hatso'ir. See this? Incredible. Enachanami, according to the daz zikenim, he does not appreciate the suggestion that it can be that in Chumash we have Aramaic words. The first thing we have to do is look at the word as if it's a Hebrew word. And if it's a Hebrew word, the word v'rav, rav in Hebrew means many. And exactly how he translates it, the daz is the Baalei Tosfos. These are the Baalei Tosfos of Rishonim. The daz zakenim is in the back of the Megillos Gedolos. Sometimes they have in the back. It's very hard to find. Not every edition has the daz zakenim. And they say it means many. Many will serve the younger. Who is the men? The many, many people will serve the younger, meaning Yaakov. We're not even discussing Esav. That you can have your Shneilim b'vinecho, Shneilim, you go through this whole mention of all the, you have two children. And then at the end of days, Verav, the entire world, not just Esav, but all of the 70 nations of the world will serve the younger child that is in your womb. We like to read the pasuk like Unkelis and like Rashi. Verav means the older one. The older one will serve the younger one. Esav will serve Yaakov. No, Rav means many nations, not just the child that's in your womb, but other nations as well will join Esav in serving your younger child in your womb. That's what the Daz Zakenim says, but that's not what Targum. The Targum says Viraba means the older one. The Targum is telling us the word Virav is not Hebrew, it is Aramaic. Now, let's go finish up over here, then we'll go back to Rashi and see and appreciate Rashi much more. Then it says over here, Virav Yavoitzur Harbi Yavoitzur Kulakaman, and have a proof to this. I mean, you know, there are many proofs. The word Rav, Yesh Li Rav. Esav said to Yaakov Avinu, I have a lot. I don't want your gift. Yaakov Avinu, he sent a very elaborate gift to Esav when he met with him. And Esav says, I don't need it. Keep it. Achi Yesh Li Rav. Everyone knows the joke. The joke is, I also have a rabbi. Yesh Li Rav. Every guy has a rabbi. Yesh Li Rav. I have a rabbi. I don't need you to tell me what to do. You're telling me what to do over here? You're telling me to say Kriya Shema? I have my own rabbi. Okay, Yesh Li Rav. It means I have an abundance. Now, Yishtabad. What does it mean over here, Yishtabad? Will serve. Kavanasoi Kiloshna Gemara Shibud Karkois Unchasim Mishubadim. What does that mean, Perish? The word yishtabad means they are subordinate, they are under an authority of a higher power. Many or the older brother will be submissive, will take orders from a higher authority. Okay, the word Yishtabad is a simple one, just means you can be under a higher authority. Then he writes over here, Tzorach Yin Shlotir Game, V'Rabba Yifalach Lezire. What's he coming over here to explain? Because the word Ya'avod, that's not really what the word Ya'avod means. The word Ya'avod means, it means to work. An Eved works. The Rav, the older brother, will work for the younger brother. Ya'avod. That would require the Targum to translate the word V'Rabba, the older brother, Yifalach. Yifalach means to work, lizeire, for the younger brother. But the Targum does not do that, which means Targum is not translating the word yavod to mean to work as an active noun, but rather milashon eved, as a being who is subject, who is under the authority of another human being. The Rav, the older brother, will be mishubad, that's what he's saying, a yishtabad, will be under the jurisdiction, under the authority of the tzur. Problem is, that's not the right word. It would then need to say in Hebrew a different expression, v'rav yihye eved litzoir. Ya'avoid has a connotation of to work hard. But that's not what the Targum says. According to the Targum, if you take the Targum and you translate it backwards into Hebrew, it should say something like the Rav Yihye Eved Latsoir. The Rav will be a servant to the Tsoir. Then an Eved means you are Tachas, the Memshala, the Shibud of the older. This is a verb. A verb. So if it's a verb, it's not defining who you are. The word Yavod can be used even if you're not a slave. Even if you're not a slave, I'm an independent person. When I work for someone, it's called Yavod. I'm working for someone. So it is, he's not, I don't know if he's explaining, Tzorachi in Shaloi Tir game, Verabo, the older brother, Yifalach, will work Lizire. Kamosha, take him, come on. So that's just a little an idea. Verabo, let's go for Verabo, Yishtadeid, Lizire. Losh nakashav rav yavoy tzoir, soivel shnei pirushim. Shaharav yavoy la tzoir, the older will serve the younger. Ularav yavoyd ularav. What is he saying over here? Rav yavoy tzoir, soivel shnei pirushim. Shaharav yavoyd la tzoir, the rav will serve the tzoir. Ularav to the rav. Yavoy the other way around. Yavoy ha'atzoir. V'chavon ha'nichta b'tzur zu k'dei lo'hoifchoy, turn around. Now what I'm saying over here is, this pasuk, we are brainwashed in translating one way only. V'rav, the older brother, will serve the younger brother. But that's not the only way to translate the words. If you want, you can do it the way really the trup. V'rav, and to the rav, Regarding the Rav, Ya'avoid ha'tzo'ir. The tzo'ir will serve. Where do you put the comma? If you put the comma after the word V'Rav, so we're making a statement. There is the older brother, period. We're putting him on a pedestal. And to this older brother, Ya'avoid tzo'ir. The tzo'ir will serve. That's not good for us. That means that we're going to be Meshubot to Esav. But on the other hand, you can read the Pasuk, V'rav Yavoid Tzoir. Now, if you look at the Ta'amei HaMikra, which interpretation would you say the Ta'amei HaMikra indicate? The interpretation that we don't want to hear. Because this is a Tipcha. V'rav, basically this is a comma. V'rav, comma, Ya'avoid Tzoir. The older brother, Esav, he will be the object which Ya'avoid Tzoir, these two words go together, which the Tzoir will serve. If we would really want to translate these words the way we like, that Esav will serve us, then it should have been It should be a mercha, a tipcha. These two should be reversed, like it's done in almost every other pasuk. Go look at almost all the pasuk, and you see, like here, ki akara he. Okay, most pasuk end off like this. Like over here, well, not every in this page is taka. Not a lot of them are not like that. They all have the commas the other way around, but it's very very common. It's the rav yavoid tsoir. That would mean that the rav will serve the tsoir. The ta'amei hamikra are not very encouraging. It seems to indicate the second interpretation, and it seems like that's why he's coming to answer the question why we had to manipulate, why we had to use grammar that's not 100% correct, because we want to be able to read the pasuk in both ways to indicate that if we merit. Well, basically, he's giving her a very deep message. Shame. Shame is telling Rivka, Rivka, you have in your womb two nations. You want to know. You came to ask me, Ma tehe b'soifa? What's going to be the end? That was the question, according to Rashi. It all ties together. Vatelech lidroish es Hashem. She went to seek out Hashem. Rashi learned, what is Lidrush Hashem? She yagid lo ma tehe b'soifa. And you know what the answer is? The answer is, I don't know what the end's going to be. The end can go either good or bad. The older brother is going to be trouble. He's going to be a troublemaker. The younger brother is going to be a good person. But there are a lot of conditions that have to happen so that the younger brother, who's a good person, is successful. If the younger brother is observant, is a Yerush Shamayim, he lives out his potential of Yerush Shamayim, Torah ve'avoda, then we'll read it, the end will be the Rav Ya'avoid Tzoir. The older brother will be his servant. But Chas v'Sholayim, if the younger brother is not a Yerush Shamayim, he doesn't do Torah mitzvahs, then you know what the end will be? It won't be good. It will be the Rav, regarding the Rav, the older brother, Yavoy Tzoir. You came to ask me, Ma Tehe B'Soifa? You know what the answer is? There is no answer what's going to be B'Soifa. That all depends on what you make out of it. It's in your hands, in your decision, whatever you will make out of it, that's what will be. Don't look into the stars to know what the future is. You make the future for yourself. The future is conditional upon your behavior and what you do with your time and your resource, your efforts. That's the answer to her question. It's a very profound look at what he's saying, what he's saying over here. Now, let's go to the next page. This is going to be a little bit problematic. Let me try to get to the next page. If I can get the next page on correctly. I have a feeling this is not going to work too great here. Let's see what happens. Screen share one more time. We're going to now the page. I don't remember which page it was. That was 333. Let's try this page, 222. Okay. No, this is, of course, the wrong page. So, it'll tell us this is the wrong page. 1 second. I just want to finish up with you this pasuk. I think really we're finished. Really we're finished with, so let's just review the Rashi now, the basic pasuk in light of what we learned together with the Targum. Okay, so what we've learned now, we go back to the pasuk. Now let's contrast with what we've learned the Rashi with the Targum. So Vayom Hashem Lo, Hashem said to her, who is Hashem? Hashem is shame. Shnei goyim bevitneich. So according to Rashi, Rashi added in the goyim is geyim. Rebbe Antoninus. Trei amamin bim'aychi. So this parish of Rashi, there are two geyim, great people. How does that relate to the Targum? I don't see any connection. Ushnei le'umim mimei'ayich, Rashi says, Ein le'oim ella malchus. And where did Rashi get that from? He got that from the Targum, because the Targum clearly defines malkivon, malchus. Ule'oim yiparedu. Okay, Rashi said that immediately they're going to separate from the, Rashi learned yiparedu immediately from the Nimeayach. Ule'oim mil'oim yemotz. Rashi says, it can, the word Rashi's yisod was, it can never be one, they'll be equal. They'll never be one. One will never, they'll never be the same. When one rises, kishezekom zenoifel. From the Targum, do we see anything from that? It says, umalku mi malku titakaf. Okay, you don't really get an appreciation. And then when it says, verav, yavoit soir. Okay, so what did Rashi say? I can't have the other page in front of me. Let me just look at the Chumash itself over here. Verav yavoit soir. We have all of these chidushim. What is the translation of the word Rav? Does Rav mean many? Is it a Hebrew word? Or is the Rav mean the older brother? The Targum clearly translates the word Rav to mean the older brother. Yavoit so'ir. Targum says the word Yavoit means he will be a slave. His essence will be a being who is subordinate to someone else. V'rabba yishtabad lize'ira. He will be subordinate to the younger brother. Why did the Targum say that that's a chiddush? Because that's not really what the word means. If that's really what it means, it should say v'rav yihye eved latzoir. The word yavod is a verb, which means he's working. It should say yifalach lezere. So it means. So if that's the case, so how come the grammar is incorrect? To teach you to be merames that this condition that the rav will be a slave to the tzoir, it's not a guarantee. If we do not merit, then it's going to be the other way around. It's going to be that regarding the Rav, then Ya'avoyit So'ir. The Tzor will say that also. Let's appreciate this. If we do not merit, I think this is an important point, if we do not merit, and we have to serve the Rav, are we his slave? Never. Klal Yisrael are never, ever the slaves of the Umay Sa'ilam. Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim, you are my servants. We are never ever the servants of another nation. After Yitzias, it doesn't exist. So when we work, when we are in Golos, and we are struggling, and we are subordinate to the Umay Sa'ilam, we're just workers. We're not in the category of being a slave. So therefore, because we want to be able to read this expression both ways, and we want to read the expression that there will be a time of golus, when with regard to the older brother, Ya'avoit so'ir, it's very precise. It doesn't say that Yihye Eved, we will be a slave. We are not their slaves. Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim, we're never their slaves. At worst, we're their workers. We work for them. So it's very precise why it says Ya'avoit So'ir. But the truth is, we don't even want that. We don't want that the So'ir should Ya'avoit the Rav. We don't even want that. We want it the other way around. We want it to be that the Rav Yihye Eved Lat So'ir. But because this expression is the answer to her question, what's going to be at the end? And the answer is, there is no answer to your question. Your destiny is dependent upon what you make out of it. And you can go both ways. So we have to write an expression that's going to be possible to be read both ways. But even when we read it both ways, when it comes out not to our benefit, it should only be Ya'avoid, not Yihye Eved. Because we're never going to be their slaves, even in the worst scenario. In the best scenario, we're going to have to change the trap. V'rav yavoid so'ir. Unfortunately, the way the trap is written is V'rav, kamo, yavoid so'ir. That doesn't sound very, very good. But the only good side to it is, it's only yavoid. It's not yihye eved. Okay, with that, we will conclude. Abayisai, thank you for joining me. Have a good night, everyone. Take care.
I can't find a simon here. Rabbo Yavoid.
What do you mean you can't find it? What do you mean you can't find Rabbitson?
Well, you have to work for the rabbits, not for the
It's a fun problem with me.
Okay,
everybody.
My pleasure, my pleasure.
Good night, Rabbi Makai.
Good night, everybody.